You're listening to Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. To listen to the full show in its entirety, find the full Dana show with the most recent date. Thanks for listening.
So the chick got fired just because she was like, heart emoji, I'm also here.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast.
This has been happening in a number of different school districts around the country. Critical race theory. If you're unaware of what critical race theory is, or CRT for short, It's just critical theory. Which is a Marxist tenet. Critical theory comes from Marxist beliefs. Critical race theory is of this. It's an offshoot of this. And critical race theory believes that America is systemically racist, systemic racism, and every single thing about the country from the ground up, the founding, etc., is flawed. And so as a result of this, everything has to be controlled in order to ensure fair outcomes. That's critical race theory. And I've been talking about this for the better part of a decade now. And what began in colleges around the country with professors in the 60s is now actually being implemented in schools. This was one of the things that the 1776 Commission was teaching about the founding of the country and civic participation, etc. That was undone by the new administration, and they implemented CRT, that sort of curriculum, into schools that receive federal funding. And as I said, during the we've been dealing with this in my town, and I always think it's funny because whenever it made me think of that scene from The Watchmen, which apparently, sidebar, Ted Cruz, God love you, it is not about environmentalism. The Watchmen is not about environmentalism. Zack Snyder's, by the way, his rendition of The Watchmen is a million infinity times better than the garbage television version, which has horrible writing, and the characters are just like, they almost made them purposefully flat, and I hate it with the burning passion of a thousand suns. That being said, The Watchmen is not about environmentalism. In fact, Ozymandias, when he was talking about humans being the disease, was talking about it really about ideological and control, not talking about the environment. That aside, whenever I used to not really talk about where I lived because I wanted to live a peaceful life. And then progressives thought it would be fun to try to out the town where I lived. And I thought, well, now that just means you have to put up with me being politically active. And it made me think of this scene from The Watchmen, Kane. Mm-hmm. It made me think of that scene from The Watchmen, which should be in our audio list. It's on there. Yeah. I don't know what number it is. Where you have Rorschach, who's in prison, and he's getting his food tray, and he says this.
None of you seem to understand. I'm not locked in here with you.
That's it! You're locked in here with me!
Yeah, that's kind of how I think of it. So don't be fist pumping, because now you just got to deal with me politically now, locally. But the school board, long story short, it became national news. Our school board is in the district in our area. Has been dealing with some issues. First off, they had a lawsuit filed against them because the members were violating Texas's Open Meetings Act, which is like politics 101. It's one of the first things that you're told before you're even allowed to do your duty, to do the job for which you were elected. So there was a lawsuit filed. So at the taxpayers' expense, the board hired this very fancy law firm that we have to pay for now because they violated the Texas Open Meetings Act to discuss how to push this critical race theory in the school. This was after a parent got a temporary restraining order against the school to stop them from implementing what looks like it's going to be a multi-million dollar program. They wanted to cut the school resource officer funding that we had voted on in a budget that we had approved and divert that to. And I wrote some of the details, and you have all the links in the newsletter. They wanted to divert that to some of the social justice warrior, the critical race theory stuff. And this, I was actually live tweeting the school board meeting last night. And so in addition to these things, apparently the school also hired a very fancy PR firm called Sunwest Communications. And they paid them $8,500 right before the TRO went into effect. And they have not shared with the parents, even though they've been repeatedly asked, the invoice. They shared like a chart saying this is how much money we pay them. They didn't say for what services or any, they didn't actually send any invoices over. And there have been public information requests on this. And so it just was interesting to me that the school entered into a deal with SunWest PR, and then suddenly hit pieces about the community began appearing everywhere, right? Magically, NBC sent cameras to our little school board meeting last night. Now, this is all because there is a thing called the Cultural Competency Action Plan, and that is the critical race theory program that they are introducing to the school. And in the critical race theory program, anyone who opposes it or questions it is smeared publicly. And so originally the board, with the aid of these progressive activists, they wanted to, as I was telling you about the SRO program, etc., they also want to establish a way to track microaggressions and make them a permanent part of students' records. Here's the plan. Quote, action step one, create a process for campus administrators to include incident notes to document microaggressions and discriminatory behaviors in the discipline offense history for students. Action step two, establish a communication process for campus administrators to share incidents of microaggressions and discriminatory behaviors to the Student Services Department for tracking services. Three, report the monthly student conduct discipline data to the school board in an executive session, a private session, year-to-year analysis to reduce incidents. Here is how they define officially microaggressions. Quote, this was on November 2nd, 2018, when the school board held a public meeting, and they defined them as microaggressions are defined as everyday verbal or nonverbal snubs or insults, whether intentional or unintentional, which communicate hostile, derogatory, or negative messages to target persons based solely upon their marginalized or underrepresented group membership, end quote. Now, of course, if you are a conservative student, as was one student in our community who simply disagreed with the proposal of this critical race theory in the school, and as of such, this little student's lawn service, he comes from a single parent, a single dad household, and he started a lawn service and was able to purchase a truck for himself. On Facebook, some of the moms were targeting him and trying to downvote his ratings on Facebook. So those, I guess, are exempt. Additionally, they want taxpayers to pay six figures for a newly created director of equity and inclusion. Now, remember the difference between equality and equity. Equality is treating people the same regardless of the situation, and equity is treating people differently because of the situation. And they wanted to establish a stipend and budget for a campus culture coach. They want to embed diversity and inclusion training for students as enrollment to graduation. It is a requirement to graduate. They want to establish equity and an inclusion grievance process system, conduct an equity audit of curriculum, all programs and policies, work with a consultant to conduct a comprehensive equity audit, and hold staff accountable for equity and inclusion work. They also want to add a cultural competence domain indicator. They want to strengthen the wording and the consequences in the student code of conduct. They also want to establish processes for documenting, reporting, etc. A lot of the proposed costs is TBD, to be determined. Now, as I wrote in my last book, Grace Canceled, racism is a moral failing. It is a sin. And it's also a moral failing. It's also a sin to falsely accuse other people of racism as a mode of controlling them. Sadly, the latter is the favorite tactic of all of those who insist on calling this critical race theory abuse a form of education. Now, some of the leaders of the program of the lead advocates for the program, I included some of the abuse in the newsletter last night. I mean, some of the stuff that they said to me, I couldn't actually say on air. But that's the daily abuse thrown at parents who simply are asking civil questions. Because see, teaching diversity advocates, the people who are advocating teaching diversity, they don't actually mean diversity. They don't mean like the sort of diversity that created the rich nation in which we all live. By teaching diversity, they mean indoctrinating one group with the lie that they are lesser people, victims, no matter their hearts, no matter their strengths, while lying to another group that they bear some original sin, no matter their kindness or decency. And it's also funded by taxpayers. And if you object, well, then you're just a big old giant racist. Why are you standing with racists? Why are you standing with racism? Who else told people that they were lesser and victims somehow? I mean, it is the most ironic thing I've ever seen in my life. And so this is what we've been dealing with in my district. And like I said, I was live tweeting this. Now, if there are kids who hear, first off, kids say stupid things. And I do think that bullying tactics, and I think that race and racism and things like this are taught. If there are a couple of instances where kids say they act like jerks and they say stupid stuff, then discipline them. Deal with it. But you don't deal with it by exploiting it and using it, as I said, committing the same moral failing of accusing everyone of such a sin as a mode to control them and introduce politics into curriculum. Now, the NBC producer who reached out was at the board meeting. And I was really, you know, I don't know if that's that they got in touch with SunWest PR or what. I mean, the reason that we got into this situation with our school board is because we had numerous seats that were unopposed. All politics are local. The reason that we're in this position nationally is because people did not stop. They did not act as the gatekeepers in their localities to stop it. Just like the Gravy Seals who were up there on January 6th. Who got into the Capitol, they didn't vote. There were a lot of awesome parents who spoke out, and there are a lot of diverse members of the community that are like, you're not teaching our kids this. It's abusive. Founded 30 years ago, Kel-Tec takes pride in their mission of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company, Kel-Tec began making firearms in 1995 and to this day continues to never copy weapons, but always innovate and create never-before-seen firearms. Now, SHOT Show is usually the time for Kel-Tec to unveil what's next, but with SHOT canceled this year, stay tuned to this program and the Kel-Tec social channels to discover new Kel-Tec weapons, all true to Kel-Tec's commitment to their customers by offering them firearm designs they can't get anywhere else. All Kel-Tec firearms are quality made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to go to work. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, and the right to bear arms, and they work hard to provide top quality products for you, law enforcement, and military personnel that protect America and our freedoms. To find a retailer near you and learn more about Kel-Tec's full line of pistols, rifles, shotguns, accessories, and more, check them out at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
A truck carrying thousands of bees flips in Texas, unleashing an angry swarm. An 18-wheeler carrying a load of honeybees in Texas. Honeybees? No. It flipped over, unleashing an angry swarm of them. They had to call in beekeepers from everywhere to help with the mass of stinging insects buzzing over a San Antonio highway. The truck, owned by a bee removal business, turned over at 11 a.m. last Sunday while trying to navigate a turn. The semi was hauling 400 hives, each holding an estimated 20,000 to 25,000 bees, according to KSAT Channel 12. So they had to close a stretch for I-35 for several hours, and while they had to clear them. And wow, thankfully they said that there were no injuries, but there was $90,000 in damages, and they said that none of the bees in the shipment were recovered. They either flew away or were killed by foam that they had to spray for safety reasons. Oh my gosh, that is a disaster because we need honeybees so bad. Oh, that hurts. Also, a French man turns himself into a black alien by cutting off his nose and upper lip, and now he has trouble talking. Anthony Lafredo, a 32-year-old. He wanted to be a black alien. Okay. He got somebody in Spain. Oh my gosh, I can't hardly look at it. Removed his nose. At where it's legal to do so. He had his upper lip cut off. He covered his entire body, including his eyeballs, in tattoos as part of the Black Alien Project on Instagram. And, oh my gosh. Now, he has trouble speaking now after this. It just looks like it's butchered. Oh my gosh. It is just so weird. Why do people do this? Why? The Canterbury Tales is targeted for cancellation. Yes, the cancel culture is still strong in the UK. They're looking at Beowulf and Canterbury Tales. They're under threat. The historians are dismayed, but they said that, yeah, there's things in here that are offensive and that we need to consider whether or not they can be part of our culture. Unbelievable. Everything's offensive, even history. Stick with us. So this is what happened. There was an author named Colleen Oefelein, really? O-E-F-E-L-E-I-N. Lots of vowels, lady. Save some vowels for the rest of us. Colleen Oefelein. I love it. We're going with it. She posted on November 12th. I'm now also posting on Parler. It's a great platform with no censorship. Giving away a few critiques there next week. Come find me. Heart, heart, heart emojis. Hashtag writing community. Hashtag writer. Hashtag ask agent. And then you have this Karen who is at YA Whispers, and they retweeted it and said, does at JD Lit Agency know or care that one of their agents frequents alt-right social media like Parler and Gab? What? Some rando anonymous account. That just because this chick simply used it. And so then, and this lady totally deleted all of her tweets and locked her account, but the internet is forever. She tweeted this, quote, the Jennifer DiChiara Literary Agency was distressed to discover this morning, January 25th, that one of our agents has been using the social media platforms Gab and Parler. We do not condone this activity, and we apologize to anyone who's been affected or offended by this. It's an old black and white blown out photo of this woman, and I'm assuming that she comes from the cigarettes and Aquanet days. She adds, the Jennifer DiChiara Literary Agency has in the past and will continue to ensure a voice of unity, equality, and one that is on the side of social justice. And then she lastly writes, as of this morning, Colleen Oefelein is no longer an agent at the Jennifer DiChiara Literary Agency. Agent, not writer. So the chick got fired just because she was like, heart emoji, I'm also here. Come find me. We'll talk about kittens. So the Jennifer, I don't know who this is. Do we know who this is?
I don't.
Yeah, go ahead. You
but
were
can
made
you
of...
imagine, though, being upset at somebody posting on other parts of the internet? Like, you having, I guess, no self-awareness, but complaining about what someone does on their own time on some other platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you doing? Why do we care about that?
I've never heard of this literary agency, and I'm just amazed at... Man, I really want to make fun of some of this. Like some guy who was on a soap opera he has a book out. He was on General Hospital and he's got a book out called Nothing General About It. That's one of our titles at the Jennifer Chiara Literary Agency. Have you seen our book? You Are Where You Are. The Jennifer Chiara Literary Agency. Oh my gosh. I just want to make fun so much. But what is wrong with you that now it's like if you're just even you use this platform, then you're in trouble. If you use it, then you're in trouble. Good heavens. I don't know. I'm really trying to be nice right now, and it is taking everything I have, because if there's one thing that I'm really good at, it's being a mean girl to mean girls who deserve mean girls to be mean to them. And I'm really trying so hard, and you guys are not helping, because I hear you goading me on. I hear it. I feel it coming through the airwaves. Don't Photoshop your black and white blown out photos, because then it makes you look like you're wearing an invisible mask. Stop it. But that's just sad. This is how bad cancel culture has gone, right? It's gone this far. It has gone. You can't even use a platform now. And that's like scary to think. That's not a and it's not an alt-right or whatever platform. That's not what Parler was or is, or it's not even, that's not what it was at all. I mean, where is the line between criticism and cancel culture? This is kind of, it's really kind of ridiculous at this point. So I don't know. But the fact that this woman was just so public about it, she realized that she had to delete her tweets. But why did you even need to? That's like an HR thing. Like, let's say that she did something that was, you know, maybe she said a cuss word or something, and that was in her contract. She can't do that on our social media account. Why would you take an HR issue and blast it out? You're such a virtue signaler. The people who are so empty of virtue are the ones that want to project the appearance of virtue so loudly and so often so as to convince not just everyone else but themselves that they have any sort of virtuous value. Jennifer Chiara, hi. We're going to go, hi, welcome to Jennifer Chiara. Would you like some Aquanet and some, would you like some Newports too? Welcome. We're sponsored by KEDS. It's the Jennifer Chiara Literary Agency. This photo that I have as my avatar was taken before flat irons were invented and you had to iron your hair, so that's the dry appearance. Yeah, back to you. I'm trying to be nice. I feel bad for people because there are people who feel like they can't speak out.
This is why.
Because of stuff like this, they lose their jobs. They lose their jobs if they just have an interest or a viewpoint that's different. People who engage in this cancel culture should be publicly ridiculed. Love ridicule. Get good at it. We're going to need it. It's sad to think that during a pandemic, cybercrime is up 75%. And by far, the most serious cybercrime to worry about is home title theft. Yeah, that's right. Cyber criminals, foreign and domestic, are now after homes, and it's actually easier than you'd think. The title documents to homes are online, and a thief can find your home's title, forge your signature on a quitclaim deed stating that you sold your home to them. And then they can take out loans on your home and leave you in debt. But you won't know until late payment or eviction notices arrive. Insurance doesn't cover you, and neither do common identity theft programs. That's why you should protect your home with Home Title Lock. The instant Home Title Lock detects someone tampering with your home's title, they help shut it down. Visit HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you could potentially be a victim, and use code RADIO to receive 30 free days of protection for any problems. That's code RADIO at HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Mm-mm-mm. All right, so this Florida man, the Florida woman that threw her German Shepherd off of a motel balcony, and I would like to throw her off the motel balcony, 35-year-old Allison Murphy, who is made of meth, was arrested. She attacked a maid at the motel and threw her dog. Please tell me that dog, I do believe the dog was okay, but I hope that Volusia County Animal Services, they said that the dog landed feet first, but was corralled by bystanders and was nicknamed Miracle. And I hope that someone who is super sweet adopts this dog. They determined that Miracle escaped serious injury, but an x-ray did reveal that a sewing needle was lodged in her right thigh. So she had a procedure to safely remove the needle, and she's recovering with animal services. This is Volusia County. So there's a sweet German Shepherd in Volusia County that's going to need a home. All my Florida peeps out there, German Shepherds are the most loyal dogs out there. I had one as a kid. They are the most amazing dogs. Kind of want Miracle myself, just saying. So I'm just putting that out there. I hope somebody sweet gets her. WINK viewers, Florida man came out en masse to help kids have a better Christmas. This is really cool. So this is a good thing that Florida folks are doing. They said that the Salvation Army's warehouse where they have toys to hand out to kids was nearly empty, and all a bunch of Florida people got together and they filled it to the brim so that kids could have toys for Christmas. So that is awesome. A Florida man's pants fell down while he was trying to run from deputies. Gabriel White, 37-year-old Florida man, he done got himself arrested on Sunday morning. He was burglarizing an unoccupied vehicle. And the 37-year-old Florida man, he was arrested this past Sunday. He was placed in handcuffs, and the sheriff's office said that while his hands were behind his back, he pulled away and ran from deputies. But he didn't get too far because his pants plumb fell down, and it caused him to trip and fall to the ground. Oh, and guess what? All these, like, meth and pills fell out. Oh.
Not his pants.
Not. A bunch of meth and pills, and there you go. Let's see. What is up with people carrying randomly around alligators in Florida? Is that like an accessory? Rachel, you're a Florida woman. Is that an accessory?
I knew a few people who had alligators, baby alligators.
I like the baby ones. I like that one guy who went and picked up his gator and went and got himself an ice cream cone, got himself a soft serve. That was on video. A Florida man is charged with picking magic mushrooms while he's just carrying his gator. It's a baby gator. Brevard Times. This is a real story. He was arrested by Florida Fish and Wildlife because he was picking hallucinogenic mushrooms in the wildlife management area, and he was carrying a 2-foot gator. This is like a thing, because who was the guy who got in trouble for carrying a gator last time?
Just a little guy, 2 foot.
Hey, little bitty.
Little bitty gator.
I would still talk to them like that, even if they were bigger. I don't know why.
The bigger part of the story is the magic mushrooms. You're just walking around picking those things?
I hope he ain't giving them to his gator. Wouldn't it kill a gator?
I would think so. I thought it would kill anyone. I don't know.
A Florida man, USA Today, walks home bleeding to death after he got a shark bite. Sarasota County Fire Department was called out to Siesta Key. This was just Tuesday morning of this week. One person was taken to the Sarasota Memorial Hospital. The staff confirmed that the injury was a shark bite. They were unable to provide any details. I mean, was it a shark or did someone else bite him? You would have to ask that question. But he was bleeding quite profusely. And so they weren't able to actually update with the severity of the energy or of the injury because, you know, privacy regulations. But he did make it to medical help. Thank heavens. But good grief.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.